Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You call in and we will talk. You know, there's a lot of money advice out there. This show is different. I am so proud of this show because this show is going to inject hope into your situation. We've got callers calling in, and what we're doing is a little bit of practical advice, but it's all bathed in hope. Our goal is that you hang up filled with hope. The Bible's full of hope, and we want to make sure that you know about it. So phone lines are open, and our first caller is James calling in from San Francisco, California. James, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, good, good. How can I help you today?
Well, I have an issue going on. I just started Financial Peace University.
Not an issue, not an issue, an opportunity.
An opportunity.
Yes, yes.
I've been into it maybe 2 weeks now.
Oh, you're a pro.
Oh, okay.
You don't feel like a pro, do you?
Not at all.
Well, what's your issue? What's going on?
I'm in baby step two, and the biggest issue I'm facing right now is my vehicle.
Okay.
I'm so upside down on it. I looked at the Kelley Blue Book and what it's worth versus what I owe. I've only had the vehicle about a year. It's a 2014. There's no way I can sell it for what it's worth and be even close to paying off the loan. So should I just return it to the bank and accept the consequences and try to pay on it what the balance is left as I can? And then the second part of the question is, I'm starting to sell stuff. Should I take that money and buy a Dave car?
Yeah, Dave car. I love it. All right, let me help you with this. And folks, please do not buy new cars. Do not buy new cars. And if you didn't hear that, do not buy new cars. They lose 70% of their value in the first 4 years. Ouch, ouch, and ouch. And nothing against you, James. I just want to help out other people. And your call right now can inspire people. Listen, this weekend, they might have plans to go out and buy a new car, and you just stopped them. So, be encouraged by that God's using you in a powerful way. I would keep paying on it. I would pay on it. The Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. It's going to stink. I mean, I would get after it. You're going to have to work a little extra hours. You're going to be mad at yourself. You're going to be, oh, but you're going to learn. And you're going to be like, oh, I'm never, ever doing that again. And you're going to help other people not do that again. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender. And do you hear James' voice? It's the voice of really the exact enslaved. It feels enslaved. And James, I want to encourage you. You're not enslaved. You feel enslaved, and that's what the scripture's talking about. And you're enslaved in this particular relationship with the bank. But your identity is in Christ, and there is grace, and He loves you. And you're the way that you sound is that all your identity is wrapped up in this bad decision. No. You're a child of God, and you are awesome. And He made you on purpose, and you've got vision, and you got vision for your life. You've got hope in your life. It's bigger than this. Just kick it in the teeth. You're a winner, and just lead through it. And drive that thing forever until it actually makes sense. So you're going to probably end up paying about $40,000 for this car. And so that means you're going to have to drive it about 20 years. And so keep driving it until it makes sense. You're like, oh, now it's paid itself off. And you can make a bad decision good by making a lot of good decisions and take really good care of it and drive it for a really long time. But don't even consider this voluntary repossession stuff. No, get after it and do the right thing and just drive it for a really long time. So anyway, that's what I'll tell you. Do not give it up. The cheapest car, Ron Blue told me a long time ago, the cheapest car that you'll ever have is the one that you have. And you've already made the decision. You've already taken a huge loss. And just, you know, make some extra payments and work a little bit more and save in some other areas. But yeah, I've done this before. I've done it before. And I'm telling you, it's painful. But James, you got this. Just get after it. Go work a little bit overtime, part-time, make some double payments. You've already made the decision. Enjoy the car, but make triple, quadruple, five times the payments and get out of this quickly. Okay?
Okay.
All right. The intensity is always the, I mean, intensity, intensity, intensity. So until you're mad at it, right now you seem a little defeated by it. You got to turn that into anger and be mad at it and then go kick it in the teeth. Well, I got another email here from Angie. Remember, you can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Angie says, I am a believer and my husband is not. He does not believe in tithing, but I do. We both work full time and our finances are combined. At one point, I was tithing on my income and it was creating a lot of tension. I believe my husband is the head of the house, and for the sake of peace in the home, I stopped giving. Am I doing the right thing? How will God bless us financially when we don't give? Great question. Very tricky spot. And the bottom line is, this is why the Bible says to not be unequally yoked, to not marry an unbeliever. You've already done it, Angie. That's fine. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And this is the reason why. This is for all of our listeners. This is the problem that happens when we do this, when we go against the grain. And in this case, it's being unequally yoked. But all over life, we do things that put us in a scenario where we have sticky situations like this. So because you're already in that situation, I would suggest you have one God, and your God is the Almighty God, is Jehovah. And so I would make sure that you're faithful to Jehovah, who you're trusting with your eternal existence first. And I would navigate through the tension. I would continue to tithe off of your income, but I would not expect him to at all. He's not a believer. It doesn't make any sense to him. But I would model for him what it looks like to be a believer, and it shows him how faithful you are, and it shows him how much you truly do believe because you're putting action behind it. But I would not hold him to that standard. I would love him to death until he becomes a believer. And stay faithful to what you know is true, to that wisdom that's in the Bible, and what God instructs us to do. Folks, again, that is why we don't do that. That's why we don't get unequally yoked. And man, make sure you know the spiritual condition of your future spouse. If you're seeing red flags all over the planet with this new, doesn't matter how good looking they are, doesn't matter how sweet they are. If you see red flags, run, because you do not want to spend the next 40, 50 years with somebody that you do not see eye to eye with spiritually. That is not good. Where you're going to church alone and they're sitting home and they're watching the ball game. No good. Do not be unequally yoked. You heard it here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Next call is from Arizona. We got Christina on the line. Christina, how are you?
I'm better than I deserve. How are you?
I love it. Very good. Well played. How can I help you?
My family and I, we all listen to Dave Ramsey, and my kids are, they are relatively young. I have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old and then a 7-year-old. So they want to live debt-free. They want to cash flow their college, especially with the older one, because she is starting high school this year.
Okay.
They want to cash flow college.
Yeah.
And my son is also going to be going on a mission as soon as he gets out of high school. And
okay.
He wants to be able to cash flow that as well. The high school that my daughter already got accepted to, they actually pay for her associate's degree while she's going to high school. So she got about $30,000 cut there. That was nice.
Yeah.
But she only has 4 years before she starts college.
Uh-huh.
What's the where should we put this for it to grow the fastest other than a regular, 329, I think they're called?
Yeah, 529. Yeah.
529.
Yeah, 529 or an ESA. And those are the two that I would recommend. I know it's late in the game, so you're not going to get much return. There's not much, the return is not going to, for 4 years, that's not going to be what moves the needle for you. It's going to be getting to work. It's doing a lot of work. And it's working while you're in college. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, it's proven that those who work in college have a higher GPA, not lower, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, because in their downtime, they're not really studying. In their downtime, they're doing things that are unproductive, usually. at that age.
Yeah, but she has a little house cleaning business that she does on the side. But.
Yeah, it sounds like you get some great kids, very responsible. You know what's interesting to me is Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not turn from it. Did you know that's right before Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is slave to the lender?
Really?
I just thought that was pretty interesting. So let me point you towards a resource real fast, Christina.
Sure.
And that is Smart Money, Smart Kids. That's the right in the phase that you're in, that 7 to 14. That is a great book for you. The 7-year-old would love Financial Peace Junior. But to your 14 and 12-year-old, I'm telling you, Generation Change or Smart Money, Smart Kids, great resources. They will enjoy it. Based on the way you said they're wired, they're going to love those two things. So you can find them both at stewardship.com. All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
All right. Thank you, Christina. Ryan sent us an email. He says, Chris, for starters, I love your show. Well, I love you too, Ryan, already. So excited to follow this journey with you, Holly, and the kids. It's very kind. He says, my question for you is, at the end of the month, my wife and I will have roughly $70,000 in the bank. $30,000 of that is set aside for our 6-month emergency fund, and the rest is ready to pay off debt. We're actively tithing in our church and have roughly $26,500 in consumer debt and owe about $148,000 on our house. We have completed Financial Peace University, and I know Dave teaches to pay off debt in a snowball fashion, lowest to highest. Now that we have the ability to pay off all of our consumer debt, I've heard from my wealth advisor that paying it off in full can actually hurt our credit. Over the past few years, my credit has taken a few hits, and we're now in a season where we're wanting to improve our credit scores. He mentioned to pay our balances down to 35% of our credit limits and pay the minimum payments for a year and then pay them off in full. This is tricky. What would you advise we do? Thank you again for teaching us how to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Well, Ryan, you are a Financial Peace University graduate, so I think you know what this answer is going to look like, and that is get out of debt as soon as possible. You actually answered your own question with the last line of this email. Thank you again for teaching us how to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. God's way is to be out of debt, not to play around and play kissy face with some credit score. Now, we either trust God for his word to stay out of debt. It's all about wisdom. It's about biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom is to stay out of debt, not to play with it. And if that makes a 10, 20, 30, 40 point difference in your credit score, then so be it. We either trust God or we trust the credit score. And if the credit score takes a really big hit, which who gives a rip, when you go to get your mortgage, your next mortgage, if you choose to go that route, you're obviously looking for a 15-year fixed mortgage. But if they won't underwrite it because your credit score is so low, then you need to go look for a manual underwriter. They actually still do those. A manual underwriting where they look at your income, which looks like it's, you know, pretty darn good, and no debt. So you've got good income that's above average and no debt. Any manual underwriter is going to still give you that loan. But I would not recommend getting a mortgage in the future. Keep saving, keep saving, keep saving, and buy a house you can afford with cash. Not very popular advice, I know. I know many of you right now are listening to my voice going, oh, Chris, you're so sweet. You're so naive. It can be done. I talk to people every day that do not have a mortgage. Guys, don't buy into this mess that we have to have a mortgage. You don't. Ryan, thank you so much for the email. Remember, God's way for God's glory. Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now, let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Got an email here from Carol. She says, how do I go about advising my elderly mom regarding tithing to church when pastor has a history of stealing from the church? Pastors back home get transferred to new congregations every 2 to 5 years, and he's currently headed to her congregation. The church leaders and finance committee is currently having discussions with head office of church, who is well aware of his history. How does she, as a Christian, continue to tithe under these circumstances? Thank you for your input. Folks, I don't want to be naive that this happens. It probably does. However, I do want to displace some falsehood that's out there in this space. I know a lot of pastors, and I know a lot of church leaders, and I just have never found one of these thieves that are there. A lot of times it is gossip. A lot of times it is not true. A lot of times there's not a whole lot of proof to it. And a lot of times it's, you know, our natural flesh. We're kind of like making excuses not to be obedient, not to give back to the local church. Now, let's address the fact that there is this scenario in some scenarios. I just is not as frequent as many would think. I would never tithe somewhere where I don't trust the leadership, because remember, we are managing God's blessings for His glory. So if giving money to an institution that is not using it for His glory, then you don't trust the organization. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to have say in what ministry it goes to. It just needs to be going to ministry. Now, that some are called to be leaders, and Ephesians 4:12 talks about that. Ephesians 4:11 and 4:12 talk about some are called to be leaders, and some are called to lead the church, and some aren't. Those leaders are called to equip the saints for acts of service. And so we're not all called to decide where the money goes. But if it's not going towards ministry at all in any capacity, then that's a problem and you need to move churches. But don't take someone's word for it. You want to go directly to the top, those directly involved in the finances. And if they give you an answer or that's a discussion that doesn't sit well with you, well, then that's okay. You don't trust leadership. That's completely fine. It doesn't have to be drama associated with it, but you have a choice on where you go to church. So just change churches. That's fine. Now, you don't need to be flip-flopping and changing churches every 5 days because something doesn't go your way, but go have the discussion, a no-drama discussion. Say, hey, listen, I really have a concern here. I heard something. I want to make sure it's true, and I want to assume first that it's not true. That's a big one. Don't assume the wrong thing. Assume the right thing. Assume the best until you can prove otherwise, but the reality is we all need to be in a church where we can trust the overall character of church leadership. You don't leave a church because the worship leader started wearing skinny jeans. Our next caller is Bobby calling in from Daytona Beach, Florida. How can I help you?
Well, I think I explained to your screener that I was just one of these people that I don't know what it is, that maybe I'm doing something wrong, that I can't make the right decision, or if I make the decision I feel in my heart is the right for my children and my wife, that somehow it just doesn't turn out the way that I think it would. Going on 58 years old, have no savings, credit score is no good. My kids have not quite bankrupted me, but their problems filtered into me trying to help them, and it backfired. I'm just kind of trying to find some guidance. You know, I work full time. I do the best I can with a 6-day work week, and my wife's on disability. Been that way for nearly 15 years, so I'm the only one. You know, it's all on me, and I pray every day that God will show me the path that He wants me on, and I think I'm getting there. It's just some things, I just don't think I'm doing it right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Einstein says it best when he says insanity, just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I love the fact that you're calling and saying, whoa, 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 I need to be doing something different. So let's dive into this. What's your salary?
I'm pulling down about $40,000 a year.
All right. How are your four walls? Four walls is your shelter, your food, your clothing, and your transportation. Do you feel like your needs are being met?
We have we rent a 3-bedroom house that maybe we don't need that, but we're in a lease that we can't really back out of right now.
Bobby, what are you paying now for your housing costs?
$9,000 a month.
Okay, so it's a tad high. It's not as, like, not crazy high, because you're probably taking home $3,000 a month. We try to keep that below 25%, and you're approaching 30%.
Yeah.
So you're slightly over.
Okay.
But it's not absolutely crazy. But if you don't need three bedrooms, yeah, as soon as I'd start, you know, beginning now to think how you'll downsize once you're out of your lease. So that's one place we can make some headway. I would just say this: if you're still contributing towards your kids' trouble, please stop. You're going to provide more trouble for them if you don't get yourself in a good financial position, because then when you get older and they're having to take care of you, which you're probably thinking, shoot, they need to, right? But
we make a joke all the time that the kids are going to lock us in a back room, and, you know, our Social Security will be, you know, spent without our knowledge. But I mean, it is all in fun. I've got 33 years with the same woman, and I love her with, you know, everything I have. And I think, you know, she knows that everything I do is for her. And, you know, honestly, it's like an uphill battle. I worked for one company for 15 years, and then in September they said, hey, we don't need you anymore.
Hmm.
So I went without work for just a short while, but whatever money I had saved had to go to my wife's medical coverage, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, because COBRA was out of the question. So we did what we had to do, but at the same time, you know, we just feel like every 2 weeks when I get paid, we have to pay somebody, if not everybody, because everybody says, well, you know what, you got to pass through a amount, you need to pay now, you need to pay this, you do that. And it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. When do I get to hold a check that I don't have to give everybody something, you know, and it just isn't there yet? I have made inquiries on making a job improvement in my position, you know, where I can actually go get some certifications, professional certifications that can be done online, and that could raise my game to a whole new level, you know, within the company. And these people actually act like they would, you know, make that an incentive to me, that it would be something worth my while. After all the years of experience I had at the other company, I can take that experience and learn something new and maybe make a little bit extra money, you know?
Bobby, let me do this. I'm going to give you a verse, and then I'm going to give you a book. I'm going to give it to you, okay?
Okay.
The verse I'm going to give you is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The key phrase in there I want you to hear is forgetting what is behind. Forget all that junk. You just gave me a ton of information about stuff that does not help you going forward. It's truth,
right.
It's details, but it's in the past, my friend. We got to look towards the future. Now, the reason why I'm giving you this book, it's called The Total Money Makeover, and it is a very easy read, very practical, very applicable to your scenario. It'll walk you through step by step what you need to do to get back on track. It'll say where you need to shave, where you need to increase a little bit of income. It'll take you through the chart of when to do what. It'll walk you through the entire thing. It's an amazing book, New York Times bestseller for years, millions of copies sold. Dave Ramsey is the author. It's incredible. It changed my life. So we're going to give it to you. So in a minute here, we're going to hang up, and Amanda, our call screener, is going to hook you up. She's going to get your address, and we're going to mail it to you. Sound good?
God bless you, sir. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. I really do feel just a chill over me right now that I've done something good today.
Oh, good job, Bobby.
Thank you, man.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show hosts ask you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and your family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. And as always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.